my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. You may have your seats if you can. If we still have any youth in the sanctuary, you are released to your classrooms in Jesus' name. We have three groups today, 0 to 7, 8 to 12, and our teenagers, 13 to 18. So if you would like your young one to go be ministered to at their level, go ahead and release them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, y'all. Hallelujah. There's something here that's on. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I almost don't know what to say, y'all. I really almost don't know what to say. I just believe just that in this moment that you all captured already the heart of the word. Amen. I believe that in this place, in this moment, everyone desired the Lord. We desired one thing. And I believe even in this moment that we prioritized his presence. We prioritized God's presence because we went in, y'all. We went in through our praise and we went in through worship, amen? We entered in first with thanksgiving, though, in our hearts, amen? So if I had to put a title on today's message, it's one thing, prioritizing God's presence. One thing, prioritizing God's presence. I'll say it again. One thing, prioritizing God's presence. Amen. Y'all, in the month of May, my husband and I, we celebrated 21 years of marriage. Amen, 21 years of marriage. And we celebrated with a cruise, right? And we went to three locations, I would say. But on this cruise, this was our first one, right? This was our first cruise. But on this cruise, y'all hear that? Amen. I'm like my pastor, but I don't want to mess nothing up over here. Is the AC? Air conditioning? Okay. Amen. Amen. So we went on this cruise, and it was an extremely large cruise ship that we were on, an extremely large cruise ship. Now, most cruise ships are fairly big, right? But this one was an extremely large cruise ship. And so there were moments on where we were in our room looking through the window at the ocean. But there were also, and I giggle because I'll tell y'all about this a little later, but there were also moments on where we would go to the top deck, to the balcony, to look out across the ocean, right? And I giggle because my husband's like, I'm good right here, babe. I'm good right here. But even in looking at the ocean, I was looking at the waves, right, of the ocean. I was looking at the vastness of the sky, the vastness of the ocean. And again, I almost couldn't put into words, right, just the majesty, the beauty, the awe-ness of God's creation, right? And so on the boat, I'm looking, right? And I see no shore, right, around. It's literally covered with ocean, right? Covered, the world was covered in that moment with the water, y'all. And so I began to look at the waves. And I said, all right, I wonder what's a stirring, because some of the waves were large and some of the waves were, you know, a little smaller. But the one thing that I can consistently hear was them bumping up against the ship, right? Now, I didn't feel it necessarily, but I could feel the waves bumping up against the ship. Now, I thought, because my stomach is tender, that I would be nauseous, right, on this cruise. But thank the Lord, all was well. Amen? Now, I'm telling y'all this because I have a point. Y'all know I like to like to share stories with you all. But work with me, if you will. So I saw God in his creation, right? I saw the presence of God in the deep. Right? The presence of God in the deep. Now, you can look out in the ocean, but you don't know how deep it is. But you know that just by the varying colors of the water, that potentially tells you the depth, right, of the waters. Right? Y'all still with me? All right, so follow me. All right, so this is creation. This is God's creation, y'all. And so when we're talking about the presence of God, right, we're talking about his omnipresence, that he is everywhere at all times in everything, right? We're also talking about his manifested presence, right? And his manifested presence is what you experience here today, right? I'm not talking about like goosebumps or, you know, jumping around, but I'm talking about, I don't know about you all, but you can sense your spirit is filled. Deep calls out to deep. Y'all gonna catch this, right? Deep calls out to deep. And so in the moment of praise and in the moment of worship that we were in, it was a call. It was an invitation to come in, to draw near, to draw closer unto the Lord in that moment. Now that is God's presence, drawing into his presence. So y'all stay with me. There's also the covenantal presence, which is Holy Spirit indwelling us, right? Stay with me, y'all. I'm going somewhere. I only got 4 points today, but if you grab other nuggets from this, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. And it's a small book of the Bible, so it's easy to miss because it may be just one page or two pages in your Bible. Now remember the title of this message on today, One Thing, Prioritizing God's Presence. Did everybody find Haggai? So Haggai is a minor prophet in the Old Testament. Just a little quick history. Old Testament prophet. Minor, not because of the message that was spoken, but because of the size of the book. It's only 2 chapters. So if you wanted to get into the word and you didn't, I would say, experience the capacity to read chapters and chapters and chapters, I encourage you to read these first 2 chapters or these 2 chapters of the book of Haggai. Are y'all still with me? Are we there? All right, and so the word of God reads, and I'm in Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house shall be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and these houses lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, if you've been here in Word of Knowledge Ministries for any length of time, you've heard Pastor preach from this particular text, right? So stay with me. Stay with me. So it may be familiar to some, but stay with me, y'all. Verse 5 goes on to say, verse 6 goes on to say, you have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. So what is happening here? What is going on here? What's happening is the children have just come out of exile, right? They have just come out of exile to the Babylonians. And so they are probably, if you study, it says probably 16 to 18 years out of exile to the Babylonians. And so at the time, the temple was in ruins, right? Because the Babylonians destroyed it. And so they technically had no place to go and worship. Because in the Jewish custom, of course, the temple is where they met the presence of God, is where they experienced the presence of God. But if there is no temple, can they experience God? All right, so stay with me, y'all. Stay with me. So we're still in Haggai chapter 1. Verse 7 goes on to say, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So he's saying, consider your ways to the people. And it says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So in this time, the people have built up their houses, right? But the temple, which is where the presence of the Lord, which is where the presence of God resided, lay in ruin. And so he's saying, okay, what's happening here? Why are we taking care of your homes when my home is in ruins, right? And so he's saying through the prophet, go to the mountain, bring the wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. The Lord will take pleasure in it, right? So verse 9 goes on to say, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. 10 goes on to say, therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I'm just going to put a pin right there. What I want us to take away is that their priorities were off, right? And so these people, although they were doing a good thing by building up their own homes, they didn't have their priorities in order, because the temple was supposed to be built, right, in this time. Now, I can't continue to stress this point enough, because remember, the temple is where the presence of God was and is. And so if you really think about it, they were working and they were doing good things. You know, God was not upset because, or he was not mad because, you know, they were building their houses, but he was bothered, upset, because he was not their priority. Now, I know some of you may be saying, man, God sounds selfish. God sounds, you know, like, God sounds like God. You know, his word reminds us in Exodus that we should have no other gods, right, before him. Right? But he is a loving God, and he desires for us to prosper. He desires to bless us, but he desires for us to make him priority. Amen? Are y'all with me? So earlier I shared with you one thing, the title, right? One thing, prioritizing God's presence. One thing. Let me ask you today, do you prioritize God's presence? Do you prioritize God's presence? Let me ask this. I want to see everyone lift their phones up. If you have a phone, lift it up. If you have a phone, lift it up. If you have a phone, lift it up. So let me ask you all, have you ever heard of a stated fact that the average person looks at their phone, scrolls at least 100 times in a day, at least 100 times in a day? Now that says the average person, right? Okay, you can put your phone down. Is your phone your first go-to when you open your eyes in the morning? Oh, I right? Is it a person that you first go to in the morning? A spouse? Is it a career? Is it checking emails? Is it food? Do you wake up and immediately and go get some boiled eggs? I mean, I don't know. What are we prioritizing, right? So in the first part of our day, y'all work with me. In the first part of our day, we should be giving the Lord, right, honor in the first part of our day. We should be giving the Lord honor in the middle part, right, of our day. And we should also be giving the Lord honor at the end of our day. Now, you're probably saying, how can I stay in the presence of God, right? How can I prioritize the presence of God when I have a job, when I have children, when I have grandchildren or great-grandchildren, when I have distractions that may come about in my life? We'll get to that a little later on, amen? But my question to you, and I'm going to consistently ask us this, what are you prioritizing? Or are you prioritizing the presence of God in your life? Now, you know, truth be told, life happens. You know, the statement that said nowadays is life is life, right? So life happens, but in that, are we experiencing God? Are we connected to God? Is God priority in our life? Is God priority in our life? So I ask you again, what gets your attention first thing every morning? So in Haggai, if we were to go back to it, this is a call to reorder our priorities, right? In the text, it talks about consider your ways. So we can be doing good things, and I want y'all to walk out of here, you know, saying, well, but I do good things and I do great things. We can do good things, right, in the kingdom, good things for the Lord. But are they connected to him? Did he tell you to do those things? Is he encouraging you to do those things? Is he speaking to you? You know what I'm saying? To do those things. And I say that because we have our priorities out of order. Right? So I'm just encouraging us today that we need to sow into our time with the Lord. Right? Not out of routine, but it's a spiritual discipline. You know, it's a spiritual discipline. It's something that we do not because, you know, we want something from the Lord, but we do it because we love the Lord, right? We want to spend time. Don't y'all know? Y'all, do y'all have any friends? Let me just ask that. Do y'all have friends? Raise your hand if you got friends in here, right? So don't you want to spend time with your friends? Don't you want to consistently know your friends? Right? Oh, I see some, nah, well, maybe they're not your friends. Right? But here's the thing. The Lord, ever since the beginning, has desired relationship. Right? He has desired relationship. And so his presence has been with us, right, from the very beginning. If we go back and we look in Genesis, we see that he walked in the cool of the day, you know what I mean, with Adam, right? He was in the cool of the day with them. So his presence was always there. His presence was always available. But we have to choose, right, to enter into his presence. We have to prioritize, amen, God's presence. He has to be first, amen? Y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. Go to Luke. Amen. Chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Still talking about prioritizing God's presence. Luke chapter 10. Amen. And we're going to be around about verse 38. And I'm going to come down. Sorry, audio team. All right, so I want to just kind of come down and just, I want to be face to face, y'all. Can I just pop right here? Is that okay? And so, Luke 10, 38 through 42 is what we're reading. And so the text tells us, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered," or she was busy, "about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" So still talking about the title of this message, one thing, right? Prioritizing God's presence. So we have Mary and Martha, y'all. And this is a very familiar text, right, to some of us. But what I want us to take away is that there were two individuals here who had a choice on how they could show up when Jesus, right, came on the scene. One chose to be busy, and to do things, which are good things, kind of like I shared. And the other chose to do what? Sit at the feet of Jesus, right? Y'all can talk to me. That's all right. All right. So point number two, I didn't say point number one. Point number one is get your priorities in order. Point number two is your posture. What is your posture? Right? What is your posture? So if we're talking about one thing, prioritizing God's presence, in this particular text, Mary prioritized the presence of Jesus, sitting at his feet. So what is your posture in regards to the presence of God? Is your posture distracted? Is your posture busy? Is your posture, are you confused? Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to present myself in the presence of God. Or do you just want to sit? Amen. Or is your presence? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Distractions. Right? Distractions. Are we at the feet of Jesus? Are we at the feet of Jesus? So what's your posture? That's point number two. Amen. Still talking about the presence, right? Prioritizing God's presence in your life. So, how do you show up in the presence of God? Are you observing others? Are you frustrated when others are in the presence of God? Are you distracted? Y'all still with me? I know y'all getting this. I already know, because I'm very, very slow about this. So y'all got it, right? So what's point number one? Point number two. All right, so we're on to point number three. And point number three is pursue his presence. Pursue his presence. Go to Exodus chapter 33. Are we there? Amen. Amen. We're starting at verse 1. I want to make sure we're getting this. Amen. Point 3, pursue his presence. So all year we've been talking about a greater thirst, right? A greater spiritual thirst for God. And so this message falls right in line with the direction that we're going. And every message that's been preached or taught up until this point is in line with what the Lord has for us. So as we look at Exodus 33, a little bit of backstory is after Israel had sinned with the golden calf, God tells Moses, that Israel can still go to the promised land, but he himself will not go with them, right? And so let's pick up in that text. And so 33:1, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swore unto Abraham to Isaac and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Ammonite, the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in any way. Let's put a pin right there. Right? So stiff-necked, stubborn, hard-headed, right? Stubborn and hard-headed. How many of us have been stubborn and hard-headed? Right? Right? Everybody should have a hand up. Right? Everybody should have a hand up, right? So stiff-necked people. And so God said, hey, you can go into the land, but my presence, right? I will not go with you. Now, let me ask y'all, question. If the Lord answered all of your prayers this year, but you did not experience his presence, would that be enough for you? Would that be enough for you? So in essence, what I'm saying is you're thanking and you're praising him for the blessings, for the things that he does, right? You're thanking him and you're praising him for the work of his hand. You're thanking him and praising him for the deliverance. And that, yes, we should do. But apart from his presence? So, I mean, y'all look at that. It said, he said, y'all can go to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I'm not going with you. Are y'all catching that? I think sometimes we just kind of read over that. But we can have the blessings of the Lord, but they come in his presence as well. Right? So we want the fullness thereof, right? We want the fullness of, yes, we have the blessing, but we need the presence as well, right? And that presence has to be prioritized. It goes on to say, verse 4 says, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, and I may know what to do unto these. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. And so the thing of it is the people knew that they needed the presence of God. But because they were stubborn and stiff-necked, right, they weren't always moving in the presence of God. They were thanking him, yes, for the blessings, for bringing them out, right, of bondage, Egypt. But even still in the midst of it, they knew that they needed the presence. So it goes on to say in verse 7, and it says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And then 9 goes on to say, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Now the people are far off, right? The people are far off and they're seeing this happen. Are they in the presence of God in that moment if they're far off? not a trick question. Okay, let's keep reading. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar at 10. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stood at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent. 11 goes on to say, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So, let me just throw this out. Have you stood outside of the presence of God? Have you stood outside of the presence of God? Are y'all getting this? I'm dropping some nuggets, y'all. Have you stood outside the presence of God? If you have, if you found yourself outside of the presence of God, there is hope, y'all. Amen? There is hope, because truth of the matter, anything can come about and try to shake us, you know what I mean, and try to distract us and try to shift our focus from the presence of the Lord, right? Like I said, life was lifing, right? Things were happening in our lives. But have you ever stood outside of the presence of the Lord? Like, see the Lord moving and you're outside. Selah. There is hope, y'all. There is hope. I want us to take from this that the land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land, the promise, you can have the promise, but not the presence of the Lord. You're like, wait a minute. Okay, it's gonna hit us, right? We need the presence of the Lord, and it must be priority. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me? Y'all still awake? Amen. So let's go to verse 12. So after the Lord spoke with Moses face to face, this is what Moses does, or this is what he says. And it says, verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people that thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. And he's like, okay, I got to get these people, but you haven't told me, Lord, who's going to go with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in thy sight. And so this is Moses. He's talking to the Lord. And he's like, look, you know, these people, you know, your people, you know, who are you going to send with me? And so it goes on to say in 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, and I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So Moses is prioritizing God's presence here. He understands that seeking him face to face required a level of intimacy, of closeness, right, that they had to possess in order to be fully successful, right, in the promise. And so with Moses, he said, I'm not going if you're not going with me. But Moses is given something to do, but he is obedient in it. But the thing of it is the people had to be obedient as well. And so if you go on to read through that text, you see that the people were obedient, and then the Lord immediately was able to go with them. Amen? Amen. So we need the presence of God, and the presence of God should be prioritized. Amen? Amen. If you look at verse 15 and 16, you'll see just a little more about that text. Y'all go with me to, let's stay there. Let's stay there. I don't want to skip over this significant point here. So Exodus still 33, verse 18. So it goes on to say, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to him. I will be gracious and will show mercy, will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And 22 says, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And 23, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So this is the glory. So this is the manifested glory. He wants the glory, right? So this went to start out with, hey, tell the people that they're stiff-necked. And then it shifted to Moses having to do something, his obedience, right, unto the Lord. But not only that, Moses stating, hey, I'm not going into this promised land unless you go with me. And then it shifted to a whole other level. He said, show me your glory. And the Lord did that, right, and protected him at the same time. Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, show me your glory? What would that look like? Right? How would we experience that? The scriptures tell us that the ministers could not stand, right, in the presence of the Lord. Y'all, today when we were worshiping and praising, my legs became very, very weak, and I literally had to go to my knees. Right? Now that's a physical manifestation, but getting in the presence of the Lord is a heart thing. Right? Is a heart thing. Where is our heart postured? You know, where is our heart positioned? Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. How many of us want to see the glory of the Lord consistently manifesting in our lives? Consistently manifesting in our lives. Now, it's happening. It's happening. It's going on. It's taking place, but we need to be aware of it, and we need to acknowledge of, you know what I mean, the presence of the Lord, and we need to spend time with the Lord, and we need to seek and inquire of him. Amen? So we can do this, y'all. We can do this. We can consistently remain in the presence of the Lord. Now, we just ministered, the praise team just ministered, minstrels, musicians just ministered songs, really kind of giving us instruction, you know, on how to enter into the presence. There was one portion of the song that said, I will not be silent, I will always worship, right? So another part of the song I just can't stop praising, you know, his name, right? And there were so many other points in the song that spoke to prayer, that spoke to praise, that spoke to worship, that spoke to just the time that is needed in order right? To get in the face, to get in the presence of the Lord. Y'all, we can do this, right? This doesn't have to be routine or robotic, right? But this is who we are. Our identity is in the Lord. When we're in the presence of the Lord, fullness of joy, right? In the presence of the Lord, there's, you know, new mercies. In the presence of the Lord, there is liberty. The scriptures in Matthew 18 and 20, I believe it talks about where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst, right? And so when we gather, right? Amen? When we gather to worship, when we gather to fellowship, when we gather to lift and to exalt the Lord in this place, and even in your homes, in with your families, or even with friends, and even in Walmart, if you wanted to praise and to lift the name of the Lord up in Walmart, you can do that in Walmart, right? But what I'm saying is it has to be priority for us. We have to be postured, right? Our hearts have to be ready to receive of him, because God is always moving. His presence is always with us, right? His presence is not goosebumps. His presence is not good feelings, right? But his presence is who he is, right? But through us, we can see, we can experience him. Amen? Amen. Last point. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. So remember how I shared that there is hope. That there is hope. James chapter 4, another very familiar scripture. And we're just going to get right to it. Starting at verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. And it simply reads, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Verse 8. I want y'all to take this and meditate on verse 8. It says, "Draw nigh," or draw near to God, "and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Now, we're not going to dig into cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's like a whole other study, right, in and of itself. We're just going to focus on, just briefly, in this moment, right? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So, y'all, this is an invitation. This is an invitation. Remember how I started this particular message with sharing about the ocean, right? If we look at Psalm 42 and 7, that's the scripture that speaks us to deep calling unto deep, I believe, and we'll look at it if we have time. But deep calls unto deep. And so created in us, right, we have a God-sized, if I could say it that way, we have a God-sized need, a God-sized aching, a God-sized unction, a God-sized feeling that needs to happen, right, in order for us to live a satisfied life. Because truth of the matter, we're all searching, right? We're all searching for varying things, for different things. But how about let's go to the one that created us, the one that knows us, the one that knows how to fill us until we're full, right? That knows how to fill us until we're satisfied. Because the worldly things, they don't bring lasting satisfaction. How about we look to the Lord, right, by drawing near to him? So In my head, I hear, ain't nothing to it but to do it, right? Ain't nothing to it but to do it. It says, draw near to God. So how are we going to do this? We're going to kiss. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, saints. Right? K-I-S-S. Keep it simple. So we're going to repent. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to read. We're going to listen. We're going to obey. And we're going to repeat. Right? So y'all like that? Kiss, keep it simple, saints. Y'all can borrow that one. Right? Y'all thought I was going to say the other S word, right? Nope. Keep it simple, saints of God, right? So we're going to repent. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to read. We're going to listen. And we're going to obey. And then we're going to repeat. We're going to repent. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to read. We're going to listen. We're going to obey. And then we're going to repeat. Right? Amen? Amen. So ain't nothing to it but to do it. Right? So we got to draw near. We got that invitation. So we can't walk out of here and say, you know, the Lord doesn't want me. The Lord doesn't accept me. Or I don't know how, right, to experience the presence of the Lord. Or I don't know how to sit, right, in the presence of the Lord. If you walk out of here today, and you still have those questions, come see me, right? Come see me and let's just talk. But here's the thing, y'all. As we're drawing, he's drawing near to us. Y'all, as we're drawing near to him, he draws near to us. Remember, I shared with you, everything that the Lord has done from the very beginning is about relationship. It's about restoring fellowship. It's about placing his people back in right standing so that we're able to move, right? We're able to live, right? We're able to have our being, right, in him, right? But we got to do it his way, right? And his way is through his purpose. It's through his presence. Amen? Are y'all with me? Amen. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Now, if you want a true blessing and you want to do a deep dive, I encourage you to read Book of Revelation. It's not scary, y'all. It's not spooky, right? But it speaks to the end times, right? And what we're going to be doing, right, when Jesus comes back. Amen? So this Revelation chapter 2 speaks about the church of Ephesus. And it goes on to say, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And then verse 5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, we got 5 minutes and we're wrapping up. But here's the thing. You see that church, they were doing good things and they were persevering, right, for the Lord. But he said there is one thing that he had against them. They forgot about their first love, and they needed to repent and return to their first love. So maybe, just maybe, some of us, when we initially when we received Christ, we probably were, you know, full of zeal and excitement. And somewhere along the way, that excitement, that thirst, right, waned. Well, it can return today if you desire it. Amen? Amen. So this is a moment on where, through seeking the Lord, through his word, will be restored into his presence. Y'all getting me? Y'all hearing me on this? Okay. So, y'all stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Amen. So we're about to move forward in altar, during the altar call. And this is a time on where you can come to the altar. We'll stand in agreement with you and we'll pray regarding your situation, regarding your circumstance. But we want you to know that we have, excuse me, that we can't change your situation. I want you to know that your faith can, and then standing in agreement with us, our faith together, through his word, through prayer, through repentance, through obedience, right? You'll be delivered. Your situation will be, amen, work through. If you're standing here today and you're confused about what is the presence of God, or how do I experience the presence of God, I want you to come to the altar. I want you to come to the altar today so that way we can stand in agreement and we can pray with you. Amen. So I want y'all to understand that this is an invitation. James chapter 4 shared with us that we are to draw near to God and he will draw near unto us.